You're dialed in to another episode of the Muley Freak Podcast.
By no means a chip shot.
No. Yeah. And if you don't show those kind of things, and we hope that the audience will engage after our first couple episodes and they'll really watch every episode just to kind of see the overall. I think an avid, you know, a bear hunter that's really wanting to get into it, it's a great series. They're going to learn a lot.
Unscripted, real conversations about everything to do with Western big game hunting.
So I'm like 2 years in a row, great. So I get close to my truck, I walk around it, and my sunroof is laying on the ground, the whole piece of glass. So I wasn't very happy. I don't know if anybody's seen my Instagram videos or whatnot, but
tips and tactics, opinions, where we've been, where we're going. Here's this week's episode.
Before we start, I guess we can just go ahead and do introductions. I mean, I just did soft introductions off the mic, but you guys, were they part of the crew last year? They just weren't down here? Or?
So, as of last year, no. Okay. These are kind of original guys that started Top Priority Hunting with me probably 8 years ago.
Nice.
And it kind of took that next step to where we were doing it a lot more and kind of got pretty complicated. So
cool.
They kind of took a step back, but both of them have come back. I know Kevin's done some elk hunts with us. He went last year. And then Jared, he's been pretty much with me, started bear hunting ever since. So
cool. Well, introduce yourselves, guys. Talk a little bit about yourselves. Yeah, it's all good. Just got to hold it a little bit. Oh, and make sure. And there we go. Now we make sure yours is turned on, too.
Restart.
Speaking of raw and real, right? That's what we're talking about here. There we go.
Good.
Now we can get some good audio.
Good.
Yeah, now I can hear you. Perfect. That's my fault. Sorry, guys.
I'm Kevin Hargan. I moved to Idaho back in 2005 from Southern Oregon.
Nice.
And it's actually kind of funny how Justin and I met. We weren't hunting together, but we were doing the late archery hunt in 39. And they had seen me bombing across this little two-track road in my little Toyota 4Runner. And neither of us knew who each other were. And come to find out, we met up later at some New Year's party, a bar or something. And we got to talking. He's like, hey, was that you? We saw that guy driving across the side of the hill. And I was like, yeah, that was me. And then we just kind of started, just barely started getting into archery hunting, and that was 2013. And then that year, first year bow hunting with them, and shot a spike with my bow, and just kind of shortly after that, that was the first year we kind of started filming stuff. And
nice.
Really kind of enjoyed the archery elk stuff, so that's kind of what I focused on, and then we hunted for years after that. And then, you know, some life stuff happens, and families, and having kids, and getting real busy. Kind of just took a couple seasons off, but we have a great time hunting, and was able to come back last year for the project that they were wanting to do for the specific film. So I came back in and helped them call for a few days. We got Jeremy a bull, and then hunted after that. And
that's sweet. So just a fortuitous being in the right place at the right time kind of thing, and then. That's cool. Hell of a deal.
Yeah, no joke. I'm like glassing these deer, and I see this 4Runner just mobbing like straight down this cliff. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Like,
he's deer hunting.
And come to find out, it's Kevin, you know, and we're like two peas in a pod, get along great. And he's been a huge addition to my team and getting it started to begin with. And I'm glad to have him back. Last year was a blast. I don't think we laughed more on an archery elk hunt more than we did last year. It was pretty neat.
That's cool. Go ahead.
So I'm Jared Kelly, from Idaho. I went to school with Justin, all through grade school.
Nice.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
And just got into big game hunting with Justin. Oh, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, quite a while ago.
And did our first video, bear hunting video together, and I mean handheld.
Yeah, so if you look up like Top Priority's first films, go down the very, very bottom, you're gonna see like this really shaky, nasty footage. That's this guy right here.
Nice.
That's me.
So he's solid with the camera.
Yeah.
I love you, dude. But no, Jared's awesome. He's always been willing to go, and he has been, he's like our bear guy. And
oh, nice.
So fitting him into Bear Wars was perfect. You know, he didn't skip a beat. He's been fascinated with the animal ever since we started, and he was right beside me when I took my biggest bear to date, and we've experienced some very cool hunts together, and you know, I'm just super glad to have him part of the group. He's actually never killed a big game animal with his bow, so
dude,
we're all working together as a team, you know, to try to get that on film this year, and hopefully it's an elk or a bear or whatnot, but we don't really care, just to have that experience together. It would be
nice.
Pretty cool.
So I'm kind of behind the scenes at Muley Freak. I don't necessarily know who's all involved on the other side. So how was Bear Wars for you? What was the experience like doing that and helping out?
Bear Wars was amazing. Probably one of the most difficult barriers we've had.
Was it?
From packing thousands of pounds of bait. Just the whole series just weather.
Yeah, what we started in what, April?
Yeah,
with the sleds?
Middle of April.
Started snowmobiling, bait in.
And, I mean, packing all this bait up these mountains. And
I think when people see our footage, they're going to be blown away, because it's like you could wait another month and still hunt for a good couple weeks, but to go where we're at, we're on an east facing slope that doesn't see the sun, so the snow stays year round pretty much.
Yeah.
And so to get our baits in, we're using sleds, and then we're using snowshoes, we're breaking in, you know, and you know, our whole plan with that is to get in before anybody else and let them get as comfortable as we can. And so that's what we did this year. We packed in probably, I think we figured it up, close to 4,000 pounds of bait.
Dude. Oh,
and it's a ton of work. And you know, if it wasn't for help with the crew and these guys and the help with Muley Freak, like, we wouldn't be able to have, let alone one bait, but we got three in this last year.
Jeez.
It's a lot of work, and most people, you know, they have no idea what bear hunting's all about.
Yeah.
They just think you just throw some stuff out and here comes a bear, and you sit and you shoot it. Well, that's what we hope to do, is educate people on, like, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
You know, this is the process. This is what we do. Yeah, it is harder than most guys that can drive a four-wheeler right where they're going to bait, but
yep.
We know the area. We know there's a lot of bears there, and the only way to do it is the way we're doing it.
Yeah.
So.
That was one of the things I think that really I'd never considered before. I mean, I think I'd heard of baiting. I'd understood what the process was for baiting. I'd understood that. But when you guys were doing that and seeing on your Instagram, I'm like, they're doing it again this weekend? They're doing it again? And then I'm like, and then you were kind of starting to explain why, and I'm like, well, it made sense. It's a repetition thing.
Yeah.
Like you said, making the bears more comfortable with a certain bait stand. It's not, like you say, you don't just pack in a thing of donuts the same weekend you're going to go kill something.
Exactly.
Like, it's not, and I'm excited to see the films too, because that'll open a lot of eyes to the whole process behind it and how necessary it is for some of these spots that it's just not going to happen otherwise.
Yeah. Right.
No, we said it even on the intro clip to Bear Wars that's on our YouTube channel. Justin kind of mentions it is just as hard as any other big game hunt.
Yeah.
And I mean, for the spot and stalk aspect, for sure it is, because we're, you know, 4 or 5 miles from the nearest road. When we took Aaron and Tyler in last year, it was not a fun place to be.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you're not packing out, you know, an elk or anything when you do get one, but the amount of work you still have to put in on a spot and stalk hunt to kill a really good mature bear, there's a lot of work behind it, and then the baiting is just a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
Like, you're either dedicated to the work and you want to earn the bear that you kill, and it's a ton of work, and let alone laying three baits out, it was running every other 3 or 4 days back and forth.
Yeah, we were taking trips midweek after our full-time job, loading up and then walking in the dark.
Two-hour drive,
bait,
and then packing bait up and putting
and
it on the packs.
By Friday when we got up there, they had already, you know, destroyed what we had already set out. So we're doing it again, you know, Saturday morning. So
jeez.
It's one of those hunts that, it's easy once you establish your site and you have set out bait, and you'd only have to walk 200 yards to get into your stand, but it's all the preseason stuff that you're doing. That gets overseen so much. You know, you watch a bear video and guys just climbing a tree and they shoot a bear.
Well, and there's a barrel there that's chained to a tree.
Exactly. You know, you have to think about what time you're going in the morning, because you don't want to obviously bump a bear. And all those things become crucial. You know, the more you travel to your bait and you check the trail camera, the more times you're influencing your scent into the bait site. And really, when we wanted to relax and really just enjoy hunting at that baiting part of it, we had already missed majority of the bears that were comfortable in there. And so it really made it more difficult to even hunt. So really the whole process of baiting and hunting at the same time was really our high point. And then after we thought we were, you know, in good shape, the bears kind of shut down on us. So you never know how it's going to go, and you just hope that you can maintain bears and that it'll stay good for you.
It's I think the biggest thing is it's just going to be an eye-opener to the behind-the-scenes. And that's something that's not really ever shown, is the work, the amount of work that goes into it beforehand. So
yeah, and with,
I'm excited to see
with
that.
Bear Wars, we wanted to show the whole process from our first day out, April 15th, the opener, you know, when we're putting in bait on sleds, to the spot and stock, to actually hunting our baits. And we didn't want to show a series that just had the eventful nights where we have a bear come in and we shoot him, you know.
Right.
We've got half the episodes where we're sitting in a tree, you know, from 6 o'clock till dark and nothing comes in.
Yeah.
Or weather moves in and, you know, we're in a huge rainstorm and stuff you can't control. And it's just tough luck, you know.
Yeah. But by no means a chip shot.
No.
Yeah.
And if you don't show those kind of things, and we hope that the audience will engage after our first couple episodes and they'll really watch every episode just to kind of see the overall. I think an avid, you know, a bear hunter that's really wanting to get into it, it's a great series. They're going to learn a lot.
I think so. It's going to come out at the right time of year for it too.
I mean, absolutely.
Generate a lot of excitement about it.
I would have loved to have had it edited, you know, last year, been able to release it sometime in the summer, but it got crazy. I moved twice in 3 months, and I'm a main editor. So Garrett took a job in Colorado. So it's been crazy. We had a big fall with lots of hunts. And so it actually worked out better to kind of sit on it for a year. And I'm crunching right now. We don't have a release date, but sometime in March, whether it's the 1st of March or the 15th, we're going to come out with these films.
Excellent. And
we haven't quite nailed down how we're going to release them in series with Muley Freak. More than likely, they're going to release a video. The next day, we'll release a video back to them, and then so forth. So
I like it.
On our end, we're looking at probably 13 episodes, right in the ballpark.
Holy cow.
And they're going to range from, some of them are a little shorter, you know, not very eventful. So it'll be 15 minutes to 30 minutes on the better days.
Yeah.
We don't want to draw them out for an hour. They don't really need to be, but we can still show people what happened and what's going on.
Oh, man. That's exciting. I'm stoked to see him.
Yeah, it's been awesome. We had over 700 gigabytes of footage and a lot of hours. And yeah, we've been crunching hard to try to get it done, not to mention putting a couple films in for full draw this year. And
oh, nice.
So we got Garrett's antelope film, and then I filmed for Kendall Carr with Crispy and Camelfire and Black Ovis, so I dumped a film in there for him as well.
That's exciting. So the full draw films, has their tour started yet for this year?
No, they start like...
It's not till the summer, is it?
They usually start around the 1st of May.
May, right around there.
I think Boise's show is like May 18th.
Nice.
It's like the third show, but...
They had a lot of submissions this year, so I think one of the most submissions that they've had, they said it's going to take some time to go through everybody's film.
Nice.
It's kind of cool. It's growing. That's good. It was smaller, and we've been in it the last couple years, but... It seems like it's really taken off now. It's a lot more guys are, dude, getting inspired to do it.
That's what I think is the coolest part, because it inspires everybody to just take it. I mean, taking a camera out there is no easy feat, but having more people go out and do it only makes the quality of everything else go up. I've noticed that over the last few years. Everything's getting a lot better. Well, some are like getting a lot better quality. I thoroughly enjoyed your guys' the elk hunt that you did last year.
The rifle. Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. And you mentioned it before, laughing the most you laughed on an elk hunt. There was a ton of laughing on that one. But was that just you two?
Yeah, that was just me and Garrett on that one. That was a rifle over-the-counter tag.
Yeah.
We'd never been to the area. Just, I think my dad kind of pinpointed a spot that he had hunted years ago.
And yeah.
They had a huge fire come in three, four years ago.
3-4 years.
So we just set foot, and it was nasty.
It looked like nasty.
Bad. It was bad country.
It looked nasty.
I ended up actually killing a bull not on that trip, but by myself, I went solo. I was just feeling defeated after our week-long hunt.
Yeah.
Me and Garrett had some of the biggest over-the-counter bulls in front of us and just couldn't make it happen, man. That's just hunting, you know.
Yeah.
And there were times where I was about to strangle Garrett, and I'm sure he was at the same with me. And
That's something that's funny you say that, because there was a time, it was when you were, I think you, in the film, you sat down and got a rest, and then you hurried and shuffled down and then sat down and got a rest, and then shuffled like a third time, and like you could visibly see, like, both of you were pissed off, but you could only see your face.
It was so frustrating. I mean, that bull that Justin had on camera, we didn't even know we had him on camera when we were there.
Yeah.
Justin didn't even have an idea. He was just pointing the camera in the general direction. So we heard him bugle, and then if you watch the film, and if I would have stayed or sat where Justin was, I could have killed that bull.
Oh, man.
And then I couldn't see, and I pulled my gun up, and I couldn't see, and it happened 2 days in a row on some of the biggest bulls we had been in front of. And I think both of us were just like going to kill each other because it wasn't working, and stuff was overly frustrating. But that's hunting, and that's probably one of my favorite films, even though it didn't work, is because it does show what, you know,
it
shows what actually does happen.
It shows the downside.
I'm getting stared at.
Get
right
out
now.
Of here.
No, I've caught some grief over that, but hopefully we can go back in this 2019 season.
Yeah.
And hopefully there's still some good bulls in there. It is a nasty place. I don't think a lot of people go into it, but you know, the first couple days that we're in there, we got in there early before season. We only took so many days of food
because,
I mean, you have to limit yourself.
You can only do so much,
And it was pretty heartbreaking when we had to turn around and go back out and to try to mentally go back in there. It was really tough to overcome and just kind of man up and go back in. But
yeah.
We did it, and it was not fun, and we had our opportunities, and we did pass bulls on that hunt, mainly because we're in, you know, 6-7 miles, and we had seen what is in there.
Yeah.
So it was, I still had a lot of fun anytime you get to go
so
out.
So is that something that you might want to do, horses or mules, next time you go in, or talk to somebody and at least have them on call? Or what are you thinking?
We had them on call. It was a matter of learning the country and actually figuring out where we could take them down in and get something out.
Yeah, I see.
After being in there a season, we definitely know some better routes and ways to get in there and access it.
But, and vantage points and kind of learning what the elk were doing.
We know exactly where we're going to sit opening morning next year.
Without a doubt.
Nice.
And we're not going anywhere else. And if our archery stuff falls out, like, we're going to archery hunt that because of the quality of bulls in there. So.
It's cool to take experiences like that and know that you can roll them into next year, and you've got a game plan and cut out so much time of the maybes.
That's the big thing. You're committed.
Yeah.
When you go into a place like that, and we had seen some different elk even on the drive in, and they were, you know, way off the beaten path.
Yeah.
There's snow and there's no roads. All the gates are locked by that point on the Forest Service road. So that kind of changes everything. We didn't have horses, and we got to walk in, and you got to take, it's a rifle hunt and our packs are heavy. And
it's colder weather. You're taking more clothes than you normally. Mm-hmm.
I was pretty happy on what we had captured as far as the elements.
Yeah.
You know, that's, as a filmmaker, that's very tough to do, is to show that stuff when it's just nasty out.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to do is be filming when you're freezing. But I think we did a good job as far as showing it and what real hunts are.
At the beginning when it pans and it's, Garrett's like, if you wanted to come to a spot where there's elk or whatever,
Siberian snow tiger.
Dude, I lost it when you said that.
Yeah.
But, and then you're panning and you're like, holy shit, they really are in Siberia. You know, it's just gnarly looking.
It was insane.
That's cool.
You get clear up in there and you're just,
Jared
got
to experience my bull, my pack out, because I went in solo the next week and I shot a 5-point bull in there, but huge body on him.
Yeah.
And I was basically, from the truck, you hike 2,500 feet in a mile and a half straight up.
Holy
breaking trail, and then you dive off the backside down another 2 miles. It's only four and a half miles in, but it's straight up and straight down, and it would have absolutely killed me. So I I shoot the bull on a Friday morning. I break the bull down all by myself. It's nasty. It's raining the whole time, so it's just a ton of work. Get him hung up that night. The next morning, so Saturday morning, I pack out, I think, the head, all the loose meat, all my camp on everything. Get back to my truck, and that's a whole nother story because I had that bear.
Bear wars story.
Yeah, so I'll just give people a little insight.
This is why we hunt bears.
Yeah, one of the reasons.
A lot of the reasons.
So I come off the mountain. I have all this weight on my back, and I get down to my pickup. I closed on basically a dead-end road,
yeah.
And I get down to the very bottom, and I start noticing these. I've got, like, gear scattered on the ground, and initially I'm like, dude, somebody broke into my truck. I'm freaking out.
Like,
and I have all my extra gear, you know, extra sleeping bags and pads and extra Mountain House meals and just random gear, camera gear and everything. And I got closer to my truck, and I had my father-in-law's four-wheeler in the back, and I could see the seat was just shredded. And I knew right away. I was like, bear.
No,
you gotta be kidding me. Because last year with Tyler and Aaron and where we were hunting on that spot and stock, I had a bear rip up my four-wheeler after 3 days being down there parked at the bottom. So I'm like, 2 years in a row, great. So I get close to my truck, I walk around it, and my sunroof is laying on the ground, the whole piece
no
of glass.
No way.
So I wasn't very happy. I don't know if anybody's seen my Instagram videos or whatnot. But so I got to looking, and the bear had climbed up in the back of the four-wheeler, tore the whole seat up, and then climbed up on the roof of my truck. Caved it in enough to where he could pop the latch of the sunroof, threw it on the ground, and then climbed into my cab and shredded all my interior.
Oh my gosh, Garrett's laughing right now.
He pulled a sleeping bag. Like, I found it 100 yards up the hill. I had pads, I had stuff just scattered. I had a crispy boot, a bugle tube sitting on top of my four-wheeler, just random stuff. I had bite marks on every door panel. Like, my seats were just shredded.
Oh my god!
I don't have a sunroof, and it's been raining for 2 days straight, so all my interior soaked. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me.
It was not funny at the time.
I felt
so bad.
That's like a 1 month, 2 month thing that you wait to laugh about.
Oh, it was. He was so
pissed.
And then, like, I got in my truck because I needed help, so I called Jared and Jeremy, our other buddy that hunts with us, and I drove out and I got to where I got some cell service, and I called them guys and I told them about it, and they were like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, there's no way. I'm like, whatever you do, don't drive a truck with a sunroof. Like, I'm pretty sure he might come back. So anyways, like 4 hours later, these guys finally show up, and I park at this like 5 miles away. I jump in with Jared. We roll up the hill. We park a quarter mile from where we went in, climb up and over the saddle. I think we got there at 5 p.m. and we got back with my elk at 2 in the morning, and a bear curled all over Jared's pickup.
No
It
way.
Was insane.
It was bad. You can see right where he climbed up on the tailgate, went up over there.
He was looking for a sunroof.
Sunroof.
Went on the road,
no shit.
Went down my windshield, and then just walked off.
Of course, we just laughed at that point, you know, but ended up, they totaled my pickup, insurance did, because the parts were unavailable to get because there was so many detailed stuff that was screwed up. So in a sense, I actually got a nicer truck, and they actually cut me a good check, so I should be up there feeding that bear this fall, you know, or the spring. It actually worked out. I don't know how, but
it doesn't have a sunroof either. So.
No, I made sure no sunroof on this one. So that could be part of the reason why we hunt bear. They can get nasty if they're, you know, there's bears that need to be relocated for certain reasons, and he's one of them.
Yep.
He should probably be taken out, or he's going to end up hurting somebody.
And here's the thing, the simple fact of him learning about a sunroof.
He knows.
Moves on to the next vehicle looking for a sunroof.
Well, and what's crazy is when I'm all mad driving down the road, everybody that drove by me, I waved down and talked to him, and I was like, hey, if you're going to park down there, make sure you're careful because there's a bear. And I ran into this one guy. He said his buddy was in there for a full week and had that bear in his camp all week long and couldn't chew him out.
Oh, my gosh.
So just after whatever, I didn't even have any food in my truck. Like, I had a cooler in the back full of drinks and hot dogs and stuff. Didn't care to go through my cooler at all.
Yeah. Wow.
It's nuts.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm glad you got a nicer truck out of it. Yeah. There's a light at the end of the tunnel on that one. Holy cow. So, Jared, he didn't really mess up your too bad, or did he like claw it up? Or I mean,
no, I mean you could see his pads because it was muddy, so yeah. You could see his pads going up on my roof, and then where his feet were sliding down my windshield. But you could see too on the side windows where he was looking in.
Yeah.
For the truck to see. I mean, no damage, no scratching, nothing.
You got lucky. Holy cow! So how was that pack out?
It was a nightmare. Was I thought I was going to die.
Jared here.
I'm like a pasture cow. These guys are like,
pasture cow. You know? I don't think he really knows what he's in for with hunting with us.
Dude,
he's experienced a little bit of it, but
it
really not
the
full.
It takes a good man to admit that, though. How many guys you talk to be like, oh, man, it was all right. It wasn't too bad. So straight up call like it is.
I mean, I finally got the top there. So you guys go down.
Yeah, we pack the quarters up to the top of the hill, and he's like, sure, I'll take some now. Yeah, it was a good relief, though.
That's crazy. Well, there you go. I mean, now you know what to look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
With these guys.
Yeah, we picked some really good country. Just really feet friendly.
They do a good job of picking where to dump them, huh?
Yeah. I've kind of with them in the past, and, you know, it was tough, you know, but where he shot his bull, oh my gosh.
Just uncalled for,
huh? Just when we were pulling up to it, you know, and I said, well, where the heck is this thing? He goes, well, it's, see, up there at the beach, you gotta go over there. You gotta be kidding me. Why did I drive up here?
It was pretty comical.
There's been plenty of times where I've started to question certain hunts where we're...
Jeremy's bull last year, dude.
That was
miserable.
And the next thing you know it, you're... 9-10 miles from where you started.
Jeez.
And it's like, man, if we kill something in here, we're in trouble.
We're gonna hate life.
Jeez.
We've always made it out, so.
You make it work somehow. Yeah. It's just a matter of time, I guess.
We complain about it for that whole entire pack out, and then the next week, let's go do another one.
Yeah, and then
take last year, for example. You know, you got four guys and you're starting to process an elk.
A big elk.
Giant.
He's basically a horse. And, you know, you can only have so many people in there cutting and stuff or else somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah,
so,
yep.
You know, Garrett's getting the head, and Jeremy and Justin are starting to quarter the bull up, and I'm kind of taking quarters and putting them in bags as they're taking them off. And I'm like, hey, Justin, you know, since I'm kind of just standing here not doing a lot, you want me to start boning some of this out? And he's like, no, we just want to get in bags and get it cooled off. We'll do it later. So... sure enough, we get them all in the quarter bags, and it's like, okay, let's load them up.
Yeah, that was dumb.
We also were taking the head and the hide because it was Jeremy's best bull.
Yeah.
And he was kind of on the fence whether he wanted to mount it or not, so we're going to take it just in case. And so we load the entire elk plus our gear that we had for 3 days,
man.
And had some very, very heavy packs coming out.
Dude.
I remember Jeremy just watching him, and... he took like 4 steps, and he's like, I can't do it. So he just hurts. It's too much work.
Granted, he's the oldest guy in the group, but I look back at one point, and it's just like the guy can barely move. So I end up taking a bag of loose meat off of his pack and putting on mine. Because, you know, it was heavy, but it felt pretty good.
Yeah.
And I put that extra, I mean, it had to be another 30 or 40 pounds. You know, you don't think it's that much, but you throw it on top of what you already have.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, well, now I know why he couldn't move.
One of these days we're going to learn to just do it in multiple trips.
Yeah.
But I just
for some reason,
just like, I want to get to the truck.
You just want
to
get it done.
I want to be done.
Yeah.
The best thing on that, too, is one of us did film it like more than we've ever filmed a pack out before. Justin did Serenity, and he had like 2.5 quarters on his pack and trying to film, and it's almost impossible.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't have your trekking poles. You're trying to... walk down nasty stuff, and on this one, yeah, I just kind of tried to man up and film as much as you could, but at a certain point your safety is almost
at
incorporated.
That point,
yeah,
you're kind of like, okay, I better put the camera
away. You know, everybody wants to see it. They're like, oh, what meat did you cut up? And it's a long process, and we need to get out of there too. And everybody complains about, well, you didn't take that much meat, or you didn't film going out or anything. Well, it's a lot more work than people think about.
Yep. And then, like you say, it's at that point you're better off grabbing trekking poles and putting them in your hat rather than carrying a camera. It's just the smarter way to go.
Yeah.
If you take one wrong step, man, you're going down the hill and
you and whatever pounds you got on your back. And it's, oh man. That's a trip, man. Well, I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited to see what the Bear Wars thing turns out to be. I'm excited to see all that footage and what you guys have coming up this year. It's exciting. So you're doing, obviously you're going back to that one spot. What else have you got on the docket? Anything?
Well, I'm not sure what Muley Freak has planned for
this year.
Yeah,
we're
basically going in as far as we know as a Bear Wars 2.0.
Gotcha. Okay.
Whether it's named that or not, we're not sure, but yeah. We're going to film all of our baiting and all of our spot and stock trips.
Nice.
And then I am actually going to Alaska with the Pure Elevation guys.
Excellent.
I'm going to film a caribou hunt for them. And meanwhile, these guys are going to be hunting antelope here in Idaho.
Oh, cool.
And then basically we roll right into September. So as soon as I get back from Alaska, we're going to roll to like 10 to 12 days for elk archery in Idaho. And then Garrett will join up with me and on the late hunt and rifle for elk.
Nice.
So that is the plan.
Hopefully get the part two of that place.
Yeah, really hope to end that film in a positive
note.
We've
had so many people come up to us and be like, when are you going to release part two?
You're like,
I'm like,
it'll be a minute.
Just, we're praying.
About 8 months.
We're praying a lot. It'd be a pretty miracle-like story to find that bull, or at least maybe the other one that we were after that we could have killed and you know, get one of those bigger bulls down.
But man.
Just setting foot in that country again is going to be awesome. I can't wait to be there and wait to film it. It's going to be rugged. It's going to be nasty. And
we know what we're up against this
time.
Well,
that's what I going to say. And think of all the work that you're going to save yourselves by knowing exactly where you're going to go.
Yeah, opening morning, we know exactly. Yep. We don't need to get in there necessarily 2 days early like we did. We're going to go right to that point and be a lot more patient.
Yeah.
You know, we're archery hunters, basically, what we ever started. You know, and so I think we kind of took that into our rifle game, and it affected us. We were trying to move too fast, and instead of being patient, you know, we were bugle chasing with the rifle. We could have just been sitting a lot, but hard lesson learned.
Yeah, well, it's exciting. All those having those lessons learned is just going to make things better this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a feeling.
Excellent. Hope so.
Well, cool, guys. I appreciate what you do, and I love the quality of the content that you guys put out in the videos. It's just, it's next level, and it's only getting better.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see what you guys got.
We take a big emphasis on quality over quantity.
Yeah.
So we may not seem like we pump out a lot of films, but the stuff we do pump out is pretty good, I think. So
I would much rather have it that way.
Thank you.
As a viewer, I would much rather have it that way.
We appreciate that.
Big time. Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you sitting down with me.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.